Well, I'm very glad that you've all come here. I hope not all of you are actually in dissensions and therefore won't listen to the things I'm going to say. I've spotted a lot of people that I've seen before whose minds are closed to the rational argument, as far as I'm concerned. What I want to do is make three main points. The first is about, so I would take exception to the title of this whole meeting, about cruelty to animals. People who experiment on animals are not cruel to animals. Indeed, it's not in their interest to be cruel to animals. They wouldn't want to be cruel to animals because that would dehumanise the people who do it. But even more important, we want to keep our animals in as abnormal a state as possible. For instance, the sort of experiments I do, we want to train animals to do things and to be able to find out what their brain is doing while they're doing it. So we cannot cause them any pain. It's not in our interest. The third reason is, of course, that we have in this country the most stringent rules to prevent any pain occurring to animals. So that if there was anything that is going to cause pain to my animals, I have to do it under full aseptic, stringent surgical conditions that will make it impossible for the animal to see, to feel any pain under anesthetic. When I actually record from the brain those animals, because the brain has no pain receptors, the animal doesn't feel any pain. Indeed, he's very happy to do the sort of task that I train him to do to reveal how his brain is doing it. Now, I want to put all this into perspective. The point of this is that we are not cruel to animals, despite what the title of this debate said. I want to put it all in perspective. Remember that of the 3 million experiments that are done on animals each year in this country, 85% are on rodents. This means that actually in a lifetime, for each of us, 3 rodents will be sacrificed for research. In fact, your cat will kill 3 rodents in a day, not in a lifetime. Compare this with the fact that we eat 500 million animals a year. This 3 million experiment reduces to very small numbers, and we are always trying to reduce it. Indeed, in the 1970s, we were doing about 6 million experiments. They've been reduced to 3 million because we have introduced the sort of things that we were hearing about a moment ago, the sort of ways of looking at research, the way in which the body works, such as looking at the way in which cells in a dish work. But the problem with cells in a dish is that they can't tell you how a whole organ works. Europeans for Medical Progress says that in fact studying the physiology of cells in a dish would substitute for animal experiments, but it can't. All it can do is tell you about how individual cells work. Tissue culture cannot do everything that she is claiming for it, nor can computer models. I know Dennis Noble very well, and I know that his computer model of the heart is very, very good. But when it points to a new kind of drug, guess what? That drug has to be tested on animals, because even his model can't capture the incredible complexity of the way the heart works. It certainly can't capture the complexity of the way visual perception works, or the way in which coordinated movement works. Microdosing is not an answer either, because microdosing is simply for toxicology tests. You cannot find out from microdosing how a drug is going to work. But I think the most important thing to remember is it's not just drugs that we're talking about. A lot of you will probably hate Big Pharma, and you think that it is all the animal experiments are for drugs. But if you take the sort of experiments that I do, I'm trying to work out how Parkinson's disease prevents people moving properly. And by studying in an intact animal, mimicking Parkinson's disease, we can work out ways of improving how to do surgery or, in fact, drugs or whatever, to improve the way in which we can treat Parkinson's. And thereby, we've saved millions of people from this horrible disease. But that's not just true of Parkinson's disease. disease. You know that the vaccines depended entirely on experiments in animals. Take a specific example. When the measles vaccine was introduced, developed in rabbits, before that, 100,000 people a year used to get measles. Of those 100,000, about 1,000 had really very serious complications. As soon as the measles vaccine was introduced, that was reduced to 10 cases in a year, for the very next year, and there were no serious complications. And you know that's true of diphtheria, true of polio, true of hepatitis B vaccines, or so many vaccines. Same is true of antibiotics. Antibiotics have to be developed in animals because that's the only way in which we can be sure that they're safe. And who would die? A child suffering, let's say, from meningitis, deny the penicillin that would save him from death, hideous death, headache and horror, just because the penicillin had been tried out on 6 mice. It's ridiculous. Same is true of diabetes. The reason we have insulin now is because of the experiments by Banting and Best that showed in dogs that insulin could be recovered from the pancreas and save people from diabetes. The pill depended on animal experiments. Keyhole surgery depended on animal experiments. How do you think people learn the techniques and work out how to do them except by doing them in animals? And my own interest, movement disorders, there's no doubt that animal experiments have made it possible. Now, Europeans for Medical Progress, and we were just hearing about it, say that there's a big problem with animal experiments in that they're not perfect. Everybody knows they're not perfect models. Ian was telling us that they're not perfect models. But that doesn't mean to say they're useless. If you concentrate on the handful of cases that are suffer from unfortunate side effects, and neglect the fact that millions of people benefit from these diseases, you'll get a totally distorted view of how important animal experiments are for this. She also said that iatrogenic disease is the fourth most common cause of death. That may be true, but what she's neglecting to tell you is that most of those problems are due to mistakes. They're not due to side effects of the drugs. As I say, Europeans for Medical Progress tend to try and ignore the countless millions who benefited from animal experiments in favour of the handful that have suffered from side effects. If you want to pick up those side effects, you'd not have to do tens or hundreds of animal experiments, you'd have to do 100,000 animal experiments. But I think it's more important to get the basic safety of drugs worked out in animal experiments. So to summarise, I hope I've shown you that we're not cruel and that almost every medical advance has depended on animal research, and therefore we have to